Hi, Reed. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Dan?
I'm fine.
Nailed it.
Yep. Good job. It's been a while, so we probably are a little rusty.
Yeah.
You want to recap? Our last recording, I believe, was in January of this year. It's now June. Do you want to recap anything?
Like what's happened since then, or
I guess that, or why we haven't been around, or
well, we've been busy. I just graduated college.
Oh, so congratulations.
That took a bit of time. Thank you.
Yeah. I was there. I was there for the graduation.
Yeah. You've done other stuff too.
Yeah. I didn't graduate from college, but
you helped other people graduate from college.
Yeah, there was that. I have to go back. You don't.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was it's been a big few months with college finishing. Someone could ask, hey, what are your next steps? But I have no intention of going there. Okay. I just think that's like the cruel thing to ask.
Yeah.
And then, so today we are going to like do a reprieve of fish and chip reviewing, since that's kind of where we got our start. And then sample some whiskeys since we've never done that before.
Yeah.
Recently I was in Ireland, so this seems really relevant.
Hey, I was also recently in Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's right. We did a family trip.
Yeah.
After graduation.
Right. Like kind of immediately after graduation.
Yeah, you like got off the stage, hopped in the car, well, packed up your room, hopped in the car, drove, not quite to Ireland, but practically back here to go to Ireland. Which was that was kind of a, I don't know if it's a once in a lifetime trip, but it was definitely a lifetime trip.
Yeah.
With you guiding us in part about a potato famine.
Yeah. I mean, you did most of the guiding. I just kind of pointed at stuff and I said, oh, I guess that's where that came from.
Yeah. Potato famine, lore, histories. Yeah. So that was super fun.
Yeah.
So we could talk all about the trip, but I guess one of the features that your expertise or interests are in, besides potato famine, histories of immigration and colonialization, and what else?
Death.
Oh, yeah. Subduing of other cultures.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
It was really fun, yeah.
But
apart from that.
Yeah, so we also walked around the countryside, coastlines. Sheep.
Lots of sheep.
Lots of sheep. Lots of ruins. Lots of sheep in ruins.
Lots of old things.
Yep. But we also sampled whiskey, so that brought up the whole whiskey.
Yeah.
Irish whiskeys in particular.
We bought, or you bought a lot of whiskey.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a lot. It's like we purchased.
You invested.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to sell it to anyone else. But three bottles of various whiskeys. And so we've got those three here, plus a bottle of Tullamore Dew, which is a big distillery in Ireland. It's not quite Jameson, but it's big. But that one I got across the street or down the street here, here in Utah.
And yeah. you had it for a while.
It's I do believe it was my first Irish whiskey. Yeah.
Fancy.
I thought so at the time, but now that we've had other Irish whiskeys, it's... Well, why don't we sample it?
Yeah.
Since right now? Yeah, sure. Sure. And then you can think about things to say about fish and chips and having it in Ireland versus here.
Right.
It smells like whiskey. What do you think? I like this whiskey a lot as a sipping neat whiskey.
I like it. I don't know if it's my favorite whiskey.
Yeah. It's kind of exciting to know you could have a favorite. I have hints of kind of caramel. This is the Tullamore Dew. Triple distilled. It's a mid to lower shelf whiskey. Yeah.
I don't, it just kind of tastes like whiskey.
Well, yeah. Well, so that's what I think every whiskey you try is like, oh yeah, that's whiskey. And then you try another one and it's like, oh, that one's completely different.
Yeah.
But also tastes like whiskey. As you're contemplating that, tell us in your expert opinion, the attributes of Irish fish and chips, of which you had plenty, versus other fish and chips.
I felt like the Irish fish and chips were often bigger than fish and chips here.
A bigger sample of fish?
Yeah,
bigger.
Like here, when you get a fish and, like, when you order fish and chips, you get like three little fish fried.
Yeah.
But there you get like a whole slab of fried
fish. Yeah, they're literal entire fillets deep fried. Yeah, that was distinctive.
Which I think makes the ratio of batter to fish different.
Better,
maybe, yeah. Like it's more fishy. It's a math problem.
Yeah, like if you have smaller piece, yeah, the whole surface area to volume. Yeah, I don't know if it was everywhere, but I liked in many places, maybe most. The skin of the fish was still on in the deep frying.
Yeah. Which then made it clear it was a fish and not like, but not like a chicken nugget where like, it's like bits like squished up, which I think might be some fish and chips. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. Generally, I think the fish and chips here was still like, oh yeah, I recognize that as a
piece of fish.
Yeah. But yeah, it was much more recognizable. Sometimes, like, you could even catch the kind of the figure of the fish from the...
Yeah, like the fish jumped out of the ocean right next to us and went into a deep fryer, and then they handed it to me, and I ate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, tell you what, let's multitask, continue thinking about attributes of fish and chips. In case the listener's concerned, we have, should take a picture of what these bottles look like as we're recording. But it should be known that we are not, having massive samples here.
No.
Just turn these bottles here. And we've spent the last, 5 minutes just sipping on this one.
Yeah. Tiny little bit.
All right. Here, I'll just get these three, which the listener doesn't even know.
Whoa.
What that's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was your whoa just...
Just
the suspense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it going to be a picture of?
Yeah. They may never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Taking live pictures right there.
Wow.
Yeah, this is good listening. Clearly, we've gotten out of practice. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tullamore Dew. Excellent sipping whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. I actually remember the first time I had some Tullamore Dew. It was in Baltimore.
Oh.
Yeah. With my friend John.
Oh.
Yeah.
John's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Also a fan of Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
So, okay. This next one is the West Cork blended Irish whiskey. Mm-hmm. They have a couple, few varieties. This is the black cask. And it, I like the sticker on it because it's the shape of the County Cork.
Yep. Which is like Southern Ireland.
Yeah.
Coastal.
Yeah. And it's been, I don't see how long it's been aged. I was trying to.
I think they told us at one point, but.
Yeah.
Probably a while.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, I want to say 3 or 5 years. I'm not. Shoot, this is terrible. Okay, so limited release Irish whiskey finished in double charred bourbon casks, which is an interesting thing about Irish whiskey. They can age them in other barrels previously used for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take a sip, and then we'll, because we have a story of this one.
Mm-hmm.
West Cork blended Irish whiskey. See, and that's much different.
Yeah, it's more mild in the fire feeling.
Yeah.
Or taste, I guess.
But there's a more distinctive flavor there.
Yeah. More woody, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's almost a sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of catches you in the side of the mouth a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, like you described the Tullamore Dew as caramely, and I think this one, I get more of the caramely.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. There are interesting things going on, and it's almost. Yeah, I think the wood kind of flavor to it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like you're tasting the cask or something. It's like it's no. just kind of this essence.
Yeah.
So, do you remember having this when we discovered this?
Yeah, we had it the second day of our walking.
Yeah, after the second day of walking.
Yeah, so we yep. got into town in Annascaul.
Uh-huh.
Which, not even a full town, it's just a little village. I think
they call it, literally the only town we hiked to was Dingle, mm-hmm. and the rest were villages.
Yeah, like not even cities or anything like that.
Yeah.
Everything was little and adorable, and we show up in a pub after dinner,
mm-hmm.
and we're just looking for, I don't know, were we initially looking for whiskey, or
I think we were just looking for, like, oh, we'll hang out at a pub, because mm-hmm. we'd eaten at the South Pole Inn,
yeah,
which is a delightful dinner,
mm-hmm.
outside in the sunshine mm-hmm. in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're just looking to hang out. And this yeah. looked like a nice place. And it had reviews and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And also like one of the only pubs in yeah. the town.
It was one of two or three.
Yeah.
Which I guess for the size of a village to have two or three pubs is pretty, mm-hmm. it's a good ratio there.
Yeah, shows priorities.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. So they had it was a sunny day, but they had a peat fire, and we just walked by peat bogs.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun, and Anna had, like, an extensive education, personalized education from
Owen.
Owen, the guy.
Just sitting out on a bar stool.
Yeah. Didn't own the place,
he was just a regular. And mom was looking for a whiskey, but didn't know really what she would want.
Yeah.
Or you were picking one out for her.
Yeah.
And Owen pointed to what he called his own personal bottle.
Yeah.
Of West Cork and said, that's a good one.
Yeah. Because I'd asked, so we were in Dingle or
County Kerry.
County Kerry, in which resides Dingle and the Dingle Distillery, and mm-hmm. asked about the Dingle Distillery bottle of whiskey, and he was not
thrilled.
No praise there. And then recommended this, and I think it became Mom's favorite whiskey, mm-hmm. maybe ever.
Yeah, because then the next day or 2 days later, I don't remember when, but recently after that, we arrived in Dingle.
Yeah.
So big old town.
Yeah, the town.
The town. And Mom tried to order West Cork there.
No, I tried to order on her behalf, which right. meant that I got derided for, as they said, we don't sell that shit here. Mm-hmm. 'Cause West Cork is in a different county.
Yeah. Cork is its own county.
Yeah. So that was a fun little cultural exchange. Yeah. And then I think
we got Jameson.
I got Jameson and I got the Dingle whiskey,
Yeah,
which was not as good. Mm. I'm sorry. It just wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Maybe if I would have picked a higher shelf of their whiskey.
They probably also, you asked for West Cork and they probably spit in it or something.
Yeah, I just watered it down. Well, they would have wanted to showcase their distillery.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. That was a fun place because it had an old man yelling at me in Irish, not in Irish, but...
But you couldn't understand.
I couldn't understand anything he was saying. And there is local music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a bank holiday. So everyone was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was loud.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really fun. It was we were on the Dingle Peninsula, and Dingle Town is kind of the. Mm-hmm. Well, not kind of. You may have guessed that's the namesake of the peninsula. I liked it. I thought that was really fun, but it maybe was my, I don't even want to say it was my least favorite, because that's like to say it was like not good. It was a great place, but I liked all of the even smaller places.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt more... Touristy isn't quite the right word, but
yeah,
I don't know.
There are just more people there,
mm-hmm.
but it was more people like a little town on the Oregon coast is what it reminded me of.
Right. Yeah. It reminded me of like Florence or something.
Yep. Florence, Oregon.
Oregon, not yeah. Italy. yeah.
Yeah. But at any rate, that was a really good stop.
Mm-hmm.
But don't expect West Cork whiskey from the Dingle.
Yeah. Make sure you know what county you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't see it on the shelf.
Don't ask for it.
Don't. Yeah. Like, oh, they must have it special just for us Americans. Okay. We had some fish and chips in Dingle too.
Yes.
Pretty much everywhere we went.
Yeah. Someone got. I think everywhere we went, someone got fish and chips.
Mm-hmm. And often if we didn't, still got, like I had a fish chowder one time or a fish fillet another time. And
there was always fish.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the best meals of my life. But I digress. okay. This next whiskey is the Red Earl Irish Whiskey. It's one of three different whiskeys we were shown.
Mm-hmm. From a newer.
Oh my gosh!
Distillery.
Yeah, it's from Kinsale.
Yeah, and it's like a newer-ish kind of distillery. So to use for their base, they use the West Cork.
That's what we were told. Mm-hmm. I don't think they advertise that, but they have to mix other whiskeys because they haven't been around long enough to age their own.
To have their own.
But this was a fun find. This was after our hike, and we were in Kinsale in the southern coast in Cork County.
In Cork.
Yeah. And we walk into a bottle shop, and I was thinking, oh, let's see if they have the West Cork whiskey, which they did.
They did. They had a couple options, too.
Yeah. But we met Jim.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to tell the story of meeting Jim? The proprietor of the bottle shop.
I don't really remember what he said specifically, but he kind of, we just walked in there and we're looking around, and he, you asked for the West Cork, I think.
Yeah, that we were interested in that.
Mm-hmm. And he pulled it off the shelf and said that he didn't have a taster of it right then, but. Yeah.
Which was a remarkable statement. Like, I never even thought, oh.
Yeah.
He should let us taste some of the whiskey.
Mm-hmm. This top shelf whiskey. Like, he was pointing out like, 90 euro stuff, and was like, you could taste that.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I don't have a West Cork you could try, but I have this Red Earl.
Yeah.
Which is from Kinsale.
Which I just sampled. I just took a sip.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back and forth, but this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes thinner than the West Cork whiskey.
Yeah.
Thank you for validating that, because I didn't. That sounded stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it's not quite lighter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something like that.
It's maybe
softer.
Yeah, it's almost like, this isn't right either, but like, almost more floral.
Mm.
More botanical.
Yeah, there are tasting notes on here.
Oh, yeah. It tells us the answers. It's like the answers in the back of the book.
Yeah.
The ChatGPT of whiskey tasting.
No, this is just a story.
Yeah. But I, as much as anything, I liked the fact that we walk into this place, like, with no coughing, not because of the whiskey.
Yeah, I swallowed it wrong.
It's like we just walked in there and we're like, oh, let's see what whiskeys are here. And then we're, like, drinking with the owner, like, samples. Like,
yeah, like, just little bits.
And he's sampling it with us. And
yeah, and then he just grabs himself a glass and just goes like, oh, yeah, I'll try some.
Yeah. Get a picture with him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn the story of this obscure whiskey that we'll probably never see a bottle of again in our life unless we go back to Kinsale.
Yeah, and he was like, it's like, you, even if you don't get it, people like it and you should try it because this is probably one of the only places you can try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because we've gone back and forth. We had this and really liked it when we weren't able to taste the West Cork next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then since we've gotten home, we've sampled them side by side. And now sampling them again side by side, like I just think they're really different and interesting.
Yeah.
And I have gone back and forth which one I like better, and I now think I can't tell you anymore.
Mm.
Oh, but you could.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't know. I probably would go back and forth on it too. But right now, I think I like the Red Earl more.
Hmm.
But.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all good.
Yep. So. You're not a long time whiskey drinker.
No.
And I would dare to say you haven't sampled whiskeys neat like this until recently. Is that true?
Yeah, I think the only times I've had just straight up whiskey is with you.
Okay.
The other times I have it, it'll be in a drink or something like
that. And I would never mix any of these. I mean, I could mix Tullamore Dew. I don't know what I'd mix it into, but yeah, I think I'd only drink any of these neat or maybe on ice.
Right. Yeah, I can't picture them in a mixed drink.
Yep. I'm also like, now I'm looking at the bottles and they're like very much mostly full.
Yeah.
But every little bit that it kind of descends, I'm a little sad.
Yeah. I mean, you can still keep the glasses because they're cool. But
yeah. But they would be empty of whiskey. Which is one of the features of whiskey bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say something about sampling whiskey. Oh, so when we went out for graduation and we were there at one of the places you frequent on Thursdays, known as Thirsty Thursdays, at one of the tasting rooms of...
Yeah, it's a wine place.
It's 4-1 Winery, right?
Yeah.
And it was clear you have been getting kind of apprenticed in the tasting of wine, and your friends.
Yeah.
By Joe.
By Joe. One of the, he's not the owner, but I think he's like a manager or something.
Yeah. It seems like he runs the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we'd go in for Thirsty Thursdays, which you just get a little tasting, 3 tastings of wine all for free. Which is,
that's amazing.
Like good wine too. Not like,
yeah,
just cheap wine or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. And then we've kind of been, trained a little bit how to taste wines.
Joe seemed to kind of take you under his wing.
Yeah.
and like insist that you understand the tasting of wine. And
yeah.
Which makes him sound like a, well, I don't know what that would make him sound like, but he doesn't strike me as like a stereotypical kind of wine guy. He just seems like he was really generous towards all of you and seemed to be really grateful to know you.
Right. Yeah. He's very, very good guy. Yeah. And we were definitely the youngest people in there. Even though it's a college town, but also Thirsty Thursdays weren't very busy anytime, which is weird to me.
Yeah, so they're giving away free wine, and it wasn't like rated by college students.
No, all the college students who were in there were hanging out in our group. Like it wasn't just other people were happening to be there.
So how did you discover that?
One of my friends went there for like a music thing, I think, and they saw a little sign on the table and they were like, oh, we should try that. And then it was like empty.
So just a random, like, yeah, we'll try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just like, I don't know, like one of those table little pyramid things with the ads in them.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things. It just said free tastings of wine from 3 to 5 every Thursday.
Nice.
We were like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. See if there's any restriction, any fine print here. And
yeah.
Yeah. And there wasn't.
No. And then you go in there once and get ID'd that first time. And then after that, they know you and they're just like, oh, you would like this wine. Like Joe would be like, oh, since you liked last week's, you'll like this one because of such and such.
And am I right? Like, Allie, one of your friends, like, picked the flight for every, like, all, like, the flight of the day for everyone?
One time, like, our last Thirsty Thursday, the 3 who showed up first all picked one wine.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, they showed up right at 3, and Joe was like, do you want to pick the flight?
Yeah.
So it was, like, one white, usually one rosé, and one red.
Uh-huh.
Although my friend Allie doesn't usually like rosés, so Joe will often give her 2 reds, instead of a rosé.
Special just for her?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's very good.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Well, I brought that up because I thought like, oh, the sampling of wine mm-hmm. habit is kind of a similar thing to sampling whiskeys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not people who sample one might not like the other, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we were always praised on our drinking speed. We were like, Joe was like, that is the correct speed at which to taste wine instead of people like drinking them faster.
Oh.
So.
Good.
We were very proud of ourselves.
Yeah. not just tipping it back and guzzling it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, good. So are you of, do you think like sampling whiskeys is a thing you like to do or just something that, oh, you're in Ireland and I've handed you some whiskeys?
I like to do it. I think I'm not as practiced in it.
I don't know that there's a need to practice, but
yeah, that probably is a slippery slope to, yeah. I don't know, bankruptcy at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people who like collect whiskeys, like you can spend hundreds of dollars on a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
I cannot do that.
But, right.
Yes. Okay. I'll ask you another question about your drink of choice in a second. So let's try this. So when we are in the same bottle shop in Kinsale and we've learned about the Red Earl or Irish whiskey of Kinsale, and I said, kind of like selfishly, like, oh, since you're giving away free tastings, like what else should we try while we're here? Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, this would be really interesting. You should try this. And he just let us sample it.
Yeah.
Before he said anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was not like I'm a connoisseur, but I was pretty pleased that I knew exactly what I was tasting when I tasted it. Yeah. Yeah. You caught that?
I think, I remember something of you saying, am I going to spoil it or?
Let's take a taste of the W.D. O'Connell single malt Irish whiskey.
Mm-hmm. Small cask.
Yeah, which meant something particular, I think, relevant to this flavor. Aged 5 years, which is, I'm sure, fine.
Yeah, a decent amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if that's impressive or because that has it's a flavor that doesn't come across on podcasts.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of smooth.
Mm-hmm. It's particularly smooth for what it is. Mm-hmm. Like you could expect it to be. Uh-huh. More offensive to some palates, I think.
And then when you breathe out after drinking it, you get this like kind of smoky,
mm-hmm.
woody taste.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah.
Yep. Agreed. Mm-hmm. So they've...
Which is the special part of it.
There's some infusion of peat in this, which is typical for a Scotch whiskey.
Well, it was smoked over a peat fire, I think he said.
It was different than what they do for Scotch.
Yeah.
But it still has the peaty essence. But it's different. There's an Irish whiskey called Connemara that has the same as a peaty infusion to it, but I think this is still different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So peat is like, for people who don't know, peat is a like 1,000-year-old moss that just grows in like the moors of Ireland
and
Scotland. And so people have like access on their land to these, to this moss.
And which like, doesn't sound, ooh, you've got moss.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, but then they've been using it in place of like wood burning.
Yeah.
Or coal burning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just like, so putting it in their fires, and it's got this distinctive, I don't even, like the smell that's,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like or similar to.
Right. It seems like it's like nothing else. And you might only associate it with like Scotch whiskey or some Irish whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
But then to see it burning in little wood, oh, well, not wood stoves, but little stoves.
Yeah, just in the middle of pubs.
Yeah. Which is, it, I likened it to like I called it old growth moss because it was like so old, and it's like you don't get it back once you've burned it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a limited, it's a very limited and more limited resource.
Yeah. And it's like you're allowed to burn your own peat,
mm-hmm.
but you're not allowed to sell it anymore,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that, because they're kind of, they're wanting to discourage it because it's not, it's like it still releases like fossil, it's a...
Yeah, it's a huge carbon sink that you're releasing.
And then once you're out of it, then you're out of it.
Yeah.
Unless you wait another... thousand
just give it years. 1,000 years yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, so. But it's so I'm all for like not burning stuff that is 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool.
Yeah,
like it's just like it's like stripped of like it's of the land. It is the land itself.
Yeah, yeah. We walked over it and we were looking at it, and it's just like. You wouldn't look at it and think, oh, this is a good thing to use in my fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just kind of, it looks like dirt,
mm-hmm.
mostly.
Soft, squishy dirt that...
Yeah.
And boggy and wet,
yeah,
mostly.
Yeah, because everything's so wet, and then there's sheep on top of it, so you're like, how am I gonna...
Gotta move the sheep, and then I'm gonna dig this up.
And let it dry for...
Yeah.
Or you burn... You like smoke it out first to dry it out or something? I don't remember. There was a whole process to it.
Yeah, it definitely has to dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like there's different processes, and then there's different processes for infusing it into the whiskeys. But
mm-hmm.
whatever they did here in the Fino cask for the W.D. O'Connell
mm-hmm.
Whiskey merchants. This is quite excellent.
Yeah. I wonder what their rule is, because if they're not allowed to sell it for burning purposes, I wonder how they get around it for whiskey making.
I wonder too, like, because it's such a, it's in Scotland and in Ireland, like it is one of the things that you use to flavor the whiskeys. So. Yeah.
Which I guess now if you're not burning it,
yeah.
Then it's the carbon worry isn't there, but you're still using a limited resource.
Yeah, I think they have to burn. Yeah, they've got to burn it a little bit at least.
Yeah.
Huh. But
it's good.
It's really good. Yeah, you could kind of sip on that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had lots of other whiskeys that we did not buy.
Mm-hmm.
Including, were you there? So Anna and I were in Kinsale, and we were waiting for you at the bookstore, and that pub had Redbreast Irish mm-hmm. whiskey, which I like a lot, and like there's a 12-year Redbreast, which I think, ooh, that's a fancy whiskey.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And for me, that is. And then they had a 15-year and a 21-year and a 27-year, if mm-hmm. I recall. And the 27-year for an ounce of it was like €70.
Yeah.
Which I did not get. But just the fact that that could exist really was kind of magical to me.
Yeah. Like you could get, I don't know, just like an ounce is really not a lot of liquid.
No.
But.
No. 2 tablespoons, 30 milliliters. And we're sipping like quarter ounces in each of these, I would say.
So about an ounce total.
Yeah. Drink responsibly is one of our messages here. I saw on one of these bottles, I think it was the West Cork. Yeah. It says on the West Cork bottle, please drink responsibly. Uh-huh. And it says that in this bottle, there's 28 units. They say 28 UK units, which I bet the Irish would be pretty upset about.
Yeah, because they're not in
the
UK.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But fine. And they say for men that 3 to 4 units is what you should drink daily. And for women, 2 to 3 units. Yeah.
That's a lot of whiskey.
I think so. We take this 28. Yeah. So that means for a man, you could drink 1/7 of this bottle.
A day?
Yeah. So we've got to get, so that's, yeah, 1/7 is 100 milliliters, because this is a 700 milliliter bottle. And 100 milliliters is like 3 shots. 3 plus ounces.
That's quite a lot of whiskey.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, I guess that's the, what will kill you, the deep fried fish and chips or the whiskey?
Well, you drink them, you have them together.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. And we haven't even said anything about the Guinness, which.
Guinness was very good.
Yeah.
There were signs that said Guinness is good for you, so.
It must be true.
Must be true, so you got to drink a lot of Guinness.
It was an old marketing campaign that they've kept up.
Yeah, there were just signs outside of pubs that just said Guinness is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, okay, let's go in there and drink their Guinness.
And I always felt like, oh, it's such a touristy thing to do. Like, oh, I'll have a pint of Guinness, and everyone expects you to have Guinness, but it's legitimately like.
It's really
delicious
good.
Drink, yeah. And
it's not too heavy.
No, it's. I think there's some presumption that it's like a heavy beer and that it's alcoholic, but it really is a very, for as dark as it looks, it's a relatively light beer.
Yeah,
and
it's only like 4.5% or something.
Yeah, it's. You could drink it. I'm not saying you should drink it with breakfast, but it's a session beer.
You could probably be fine.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night.
Yeah, that's what Anna's first grade teacher reiterated that Anna had said of me as a beer drinker that I like it morning, noon, and night.
Which is not true.
That's not factually accurate.
But as a 6-year-old, that's what Anna said.
Yeah. So said her teacher. She may or may not be a reliable narrator of that story.
Mm-hmm.
But Guinness.
Yeah.
I think. Sure. If you're going to have a beer for breakfast, it could be Guinness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that we say you should have one for breakfast.
I'm not advocating that. But if you were. Like it's a surprisingly quenching and smooth beverage.
Yeah.
So, fish and chips or meals in Ireland in general, what was your favorite?
For fish and chips, I think, our last day of walking in Clann. That one was one of the best.
Yeah, that was a really good meal. That was a really good evening.
Yeah. Yeah, because we had dinner at this pub. mm-hmm. kind of in the back dining area
mm-hmm.
and had really good fish and chips.
Yep.
And then we went into the pub section and
yep.
played games and drank Guinness and
yep.
probably some whiskey.
And some, I don't remember if we had whiskey or cider or it could have been all of them.
Yeah. We were there for a little while.
Yeah. That was a really fun evening. And the Michal.
Yeah.
Which Michael.
Mm-hmm. Michal.
Yeah. He was like, he's the owner of the place and was chatting us up and.
Yeah. Liked telling stories. And,
yep. To the entire bar.
Mm-hmm.
Would get their attention.
In front of the peat fire.
Yeah. Another peat fire. Yeah. Which we were sitting next to.
Mm-hmm. And there were some other Americans
yeah.
in there who didn't like the smell of the peat fire. And so I felt superior to them.
They
but
just, yeah, they were just, not that I want to be that guy who says, I don't know. They were just obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like, and it wasn't even that, it wasn't like they were like,
they weren't rude obnoxious. Or anything.
No, no. Like
they were fine.
Just, yeah. It's just, they were just.
They were just taking up a lot of space.
Yeah. I guess I just didn't like them.
Yeah.
They're perfectly fine people.
Yeah.
I just didn't like what they represented.
Yeah. And they also were only talking to other Americans.
Yeah. About American stuff.
About America. And I'm like, you're in the middle of nowhere, Ireland.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
You could at least talk about Ireland, even if you're talking only to Americans.
Yeah. But they were instead talking about Michigan.
Yeah. Or their trip to, like, one of them was from like South Dakota or something,
yeah.
which is probably a fine place, but sure. It's not what I'm interested in hearing about yeah. when I'm in Ireland. Anyway.
Yeah, it's true. So Michal, who mm-hmm. like came up and introduced himself and told us stories and then told the whole bar stories, like that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if he's hiring.
That'd be a fun place to work.
That'd be fun. The bartenders and stuff like that, or I don't know if they're called bartenders, but
yeah.
they just continued about their day, just like serving drinks and stuff. They did not seem at all fascinated by his stories.
Yeah, they've probably heard him once yeah, or twice.
Probably.
Yeah. So my favorite thing there was that. So we had just hiked up like halfway up the mountain on this super stormy, cloudy,
mm-hmm.
rainy, varied day. And we passed by yeah. this bench that was a memorial to like a plane crash
right.
around World War II. And there's I couldn't have told you that, oh, look, here's where the plane crashed, except for mm-hmm. that monument.
Right. And we kind of walked past and we're like, oh, wonder what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's more of a. And we knew there was more of a story, and I expected to see more, but it was just a bench.
Yeah.
And then he retells the story about how Ireland was neutral in World War II.
Right.
Which is hard for me to imagine, except understanding how tormented the Irish were.
They had just gotten out of basically centuries of fighting for their independence, and then had just. Fair, like 20 years or so had their independence. Hi, Gassy. The cat has yeah. entered the room.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and had to fight for
the British.
For the British in World War I, which. And
they didn't like that.
Yeah, I can.
Understandably.
Yeah, it makes sense. So they stayed out of World War II.
Yeah, they also didn't really have. A lot of resources or
okay
like
yeah
from my understanding they didn't have like an army themselves or the money to fund fighting and traveling and
yeah
that kind of stuff
so a Nazi plane, right? Is this right?
Yeah.
Crashed in...
Michal just described it as German, but my only understanding of that could be Nazi.
Yeah.
Because Nazi Germany.
That's the people that's would be flying political. German warplanes.
Yeah.
And it crashed, and then since Ireland was neutral, they were like, oh yeah, you can't, we can't let you go, but you have to stay here.
Yeah.
Like, but you're not a prisoner.
Right. Like, we just can't let you go back because that would be a sign that we're, like, on board with the Germans, which we're not on board with the Germans, but we also won't turn you over to, like, the Allied forces because then we'd be on their side. So you can just hang out here.
Which is just such a... I don't know if I'd have such sympathy for...
Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me wonder how much information they had, but I don't know.
It's just such a perplexing story. And then he tells all of it and tells about how, like, some of these guys ended up marrying Irish women and stayed here and
liked it.
Yeah. And I don't know, turned their lives around instead of being
They were Nazis. Like, wait, we shouldn't be Nazis. Yeah.
And then at the end of his story, like, points to the ceiling of the bar and shows, and there's part of the plane wing that crashed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the belly and the wing or something like that were just there in the bar.
Yeah. Like, to say, like, oh yeah, we've been so oppressed, but, you know, we can be kind even to Nazis.
Yeah, which... That takes a very big person to be kind to Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a story.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so that was the source of your favorite meal or favorite fish and chips?
At the very least, favorite fish and chips.
Yeah.
It might have been. Well, I don't know. We had a lot of good meals.
That's true. Which was either like a Guinness lamb stew or fish and chips.
I did have a really good, the first night we were in Kinsale, I had like a beef stew that was very good.
Oh, at the Spaniard?
Yeah.
Which is an interesting name for a restaurant or pub.
In Ireland.
In Ireland. But there's a whole reason for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good place. That was a good walk to a good place. I had fish chowder there, which was really good. And then the night after that, I had one of the best meals of my life.
Yeah.
For sure. I had...
At Fishy.
Fishy Fish?
Fishy.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
That makes sense.
Because we walked into Fishy, and based on the name, we were like... Oh, it's just this restaurant.
Yeah. It could be another restaurant. Just giving away fish in little cardboard boxes or something.
Right.
But it was super high end.
Yeah.
And it was, I just knew it because the review, like, I remember the guide said, oh yeah, this is a place to have a meal. You should have a meal here. And and it turned out to be like, it was all local food and fresh fish
and super good.
Mom had salmon. You had
like a yellow finned tuna.
Yeah, that looked really good.
So it was like seared, because tuna is not like usually all the way cooked.
Yeah,
so it was like this really good,
it looked wonderful, raw
fish.
And Anna and I had scallops, which was, I always like scallops. Almost always like the scallops, but this was,
And both of you described it as like the best thing you've ever eaten.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a marvelous, it makes you realize, oh, food can be kind of this other, not spiritual, but this next level experience.
Like in the bear.
Right. Right. Yeah, which kind of gives you a whole appreciation for food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really
amazing. Or in Ratatouille.
Yeah. in its own way, I should rewatch that movie. Because I think a lot of things like your wine sampling and the whiskey sampling and the food and mm-hmm. like there's this whole other experience of food that I think we should appreciate. Yeah. Hi, Gus.
Gus, would you like to tell the people something?
Good. What's that? Yeah, he's just going to be Gus.
He's just going to be around.
So, any wrap up on like the best or the essence of fish and chips that we should aspire to?
I don't. Well, the flakiness, which I might have said last time, but that's just.
It was reinforced here.
Yeah. I also like the ratio is really good. And also, the one thing we have, but in Ireland, malt vinegar is just a standard. You don't have to ask for it. They have it in like little packets.
The random fast food condiment packets.
Yeah, they have. It was like mustard, mayo, and malt vinegar.
Yeah.
So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Just the readiness for anyone to just need malt vinegar at any point in time.
Yeah. That seemed super wise. Mm-hmm. What was your take on the mushy peas? Because that was a new discovery for us.
I like the mushy peas, but I also just like peas in general.
Yeah.
Mom described them as minty, which I never really super got.
One place in particular, I think it was especially minty, and others not as much.
Other places, I thought mostly they tasted like peas.
Yeah.
Which is a good flavor in itself.
Yeah.
So.
It was a good addition to fish and chips. Like, oh, great. I'm getting a vegetable too.
Yeah. Kinda. This little, I don't like what they usually put condiments in.
Yeah.
Like that little
instead of the tartar sauce,
mushy peas. They're like, here's your mushy peas so that you're kind of healthy.
Yeah. They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't made good on that idea to make mushy peas here.
I'm sure it's not hard.
It's like, what are the ingredients? Well, peas mushed.
you probably boil your peas and then squish them a bit.
But they weren't like over, like canned peas are like awful.
I don't think I've had canned peas.
Yeah, it's fine. You're like,
I'm not missing out.
Yeah, no, not at all. But they were like fresh peas somehow boiled or steamed and then mushed.
But there was like, you could still have like the texture of the skin.
Yep.
They weren't, yeah.
Yep, it was still there.
It was good.
Yeah.
I kind of. Because you put lemon on the whole fish and chips thing, so they'd get a little lemon on them.
Uh-huh.
So, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we could talk about food, and then there was, like, some good places in Dublin and...
Yeah.
And all of that.
But, hi, guys.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But it's not a review of all things we did.
Yeah. What were your favorite fish and chips? If you have favorites.
It probably was in that same place. Clohan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that was a giant fillet of fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were a couple of other places that were also really good.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite meal was that scallops.
Yeah.
In
Kinsale.
But, yeah. But that's not to diminish the fish and chips or other meals I had. That was just otherworldly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, should we wrap up?
Sure.
Save some 10 questions or other hot topics. Like we were talking about socks the other day.
No spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Okay, we may or may not talk about socks.
Yeah. We've had couple ideas.
We're full of them. Maybe and you've got some trips and
mm-hmm.
stuff coming up and other things happening.
Yeah.
But Yeah. For now, do you want another sip of whiskey?
Sure.
Finished up. What would you like?
I think I'm... The only things I have left are the West Cork and the Tullamore Dhu.
Oh.
Tullamore. Tullamore.
That's how I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll pour a little, just a splash of West Cork. Yeah. Very literal splash. And what do we say? What's the toast? Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Yeah.
Which is something we learned from Jim.
Yeah, at the bottle shop. Okay. So, sláinte.
Sláinte.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that one's good too.
Yeah, I like coming back to that after the
West Cork blended Irish whiskey. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, nice talking to you, Reed.
Yeah, good to talk to you too, Dan.
We'll talk again soon.
Yeah.
Soonish or within 6 months. We don't talk
outside of this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Nice getting some connections with family.
Yeah.
Okay. But until then, keep your feelings inside.
Okay. You too.
Thanks. I will. Bye.
Bye.